Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Time to kick off another awesome work week. And today we've got a very special show for you. This is part of hour four of the 12-hour live show for Give Kids the World this past summer. We've got a great interview with Mr. Dan Cockrell, someone who went from working the parking lot at Epcot through to the boardroom at the Disney Destinations. He talks about working at the properties down at Walt Disney World and overseas properties as well. And you're going to see that Dan is just an inspiring person. He's a passionate Disney fan who has made major decisions when it comes to the Walt Disney Company. But you could tell there's still the fan is there. So he gives us his perspective on things happening right now and also gets you fired up for what you're doing in your life. It's a great interview. We appreciated Dan taking the time to join us for the 12-hour live show. I think you're going to really, really enjoy today's show. Before we get to that, we need to thank our sponsors of the podcast, and that's our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books to get you fired up for life, kind of like Dan. You're going to get, you know, some Walt Disney history. You're going to get the man himself talking about how Walt took what he had, his talents, and just kept plusing them. He took his passion for animation and turned it into three-dimensional experiences for us at Disneyland. But that wasn't enough. He kept dreaming and came up with the idea for Walt Disney World as well. These books get you fired up. They're so good. They get you. They help you develop better relationships with coworkers, friends, family. But you also get your Disney fix at the same time. So check them out today. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You can also save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of Mickey bars, you're going to get 365 days of awesome information to make your next vacation great. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. All right, let's get the phone ready. Let's call up Dan and get to the interview from the 12-hour live show where we got together as a community and we raised over $30,000 for the great folks at Give Kids the World. Thank you guys so much. This is the best thing we do all year. Enjoy today's podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
It's hard to type in a number without saying it out loud, you know? It's like,
yeah,
it's like it's my loud habit, you know? It's like, I'm used to talking to myself here. Okay, here we go.
Please don't say it out loud.
Yeah, I won't. Let's make sure we got this. See, you can tell it's a phone call because it's official.
That's right.
Dan,
hi, this is Mike from the Be Our Guest podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I am wonderful. Hi. Thank you so much for joining us here. We're on the air raising money for Give Kids the World today. So thanks again for becoming a part of the show.
My pleasure. How are you all doing today?
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. This is Ricky. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you. I can't thank you enough for coming on with us. So thanks for taking my email. That's so awesome.
No, my pleasure. Whenever I can, I'm not in the middle of 60,000 people every day now, so every chance I can get to talk to somebody, I take it.
It gets it's a little different when you're sitting at home versus, you know, having a team of over 60,000. Yes, this is true.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole new world. Yeah, yeah.
So, and we also have Pam, who is here. She is also part of the podcast. So.
Yeah, we're glad to speak with
Pam
today, and thank you for helping us raise a little money, so.
Yes.
No, my pleasure.
Awesome. So let's kind of, first of all, share with people a little bit about yourself who maybe, like I was saying, the tease that I've been talking about with you is you may not know the name Dan Cockrell, but you know his work. So can you tell people a little bit about kind of your history with the Walt Disney Company?
Sure. Well, I just had a big career change, but I spent August would have been 27 years with the Walt Disney Company. I worked, I went to Boston University and studied political science, and I worked at Disney. My first job there was on the college program, working at the Contemporary Hotel, and really enjoyed that experience and learned a lot. And when I graduated from college, I came back down to Florida and trained. I was a parking attendant at Epcot. We had the Euro Disney at the time. They called it Euro Disney. It's Disneyland Paris now. But we started the a training program to get ready for that park opening, which happened in April of 1992. So they had brought a lot of European cast members who'd worked for Disney previously to Walt Disney World to train. And I got a visa to work in France. So I worked here for 6 months. And then I went over to France. I got there on January 1st, 1992. I was a management trainee. I spoke about 5 words of French, and I was out in the parking lot. So it was quite an adventure. I ended up staying over there for 5 years as a frontline manager. My wife is from France. And so that's, on one hand, we fell in love and got married, and it also helped with the green card. So we stayed there for a while. And our son was born over there, Julian. And we moved back to Florida in 1996, and we've been here ever since. And I worked at Epcot for a while. I was in the resorts for about 6 years. And then towards the end of my time with Disney, I was the vice president of Epcot and then the vice president of Disney's Hollywood Studios. And my last role that I just left, I was the vice president of the Magic Kingdom for about the past 3 years.
That is amazing. Wow. That, you know, and here's what I like about your story is that you were, you know, when I hear the story, you were in the parking lot of Epcot. You know, I love that that's, you know, that's like the all-American story. And of course, your story took you through France as well. But it's one of those things that you have a perspective that I think a lot of executives in leadership may not have. If, say, they cross from another company into Disney at a high level, you probably saw things from a different perspective than many of your other peers.
Well, it's a common story at Disney. Most of our senior executives started out on the front line. And I think that's one of the great things about Walt Disney World. We value so much the frontline experience because we know that's where the magic happens. Our 70,000 cast members interacting with all the guests is where all the value is made, all the happiness is created. And it's really important that our executives know that. And so most of our promotions are with internally. And people come up through the ranks. And I never forgot about what it was like to work in the parking lot or what it was like to work in a restaurant. And it's very powerful when you get more influence and you get more decision-making ability to remain and remember how important that frontline role is. And it was extremely valuable. It makes you a lot more effective as an executive having had that experience.
What's one of the lessons that you learned from being on the front line that you took with you into the leadership roles?
Boy, that's a great question. The 6 months I spent at Epcot parking, I like to talk about my comparison as I was kind of the fly on the wall. I knew I was going to be in a management trainee role after I left Epcot, and I certainly had no clue or even thought I'd get as far as I did with the company. And that was always surprising. You see how important it is for leaders to be around. You quickly No, and I always told my leaders this when I got into my higher level jobs is, every leader, every manager has a reputation. Whether you know it or not, all the cast members have sort of bucket you in a place. Are you someone that they can count on? Do you follow through and do you say what you're going to do? Are you around to help them when they need help? How do you handle pressure and stress? And so the big thing is you are, and my dad talks about this a lot, and he was an executive for 16 years with the company. He said, as a leader, people are always watching you, and they're always judging, and they're always taking your cues and role modeling. And it's incredibly important that you constantly know that, and you know that you're under the microscope, and you have to perform at a world-class level all the time. And I saw that as a frontline cast member, how important that was. Because the leaders are very influential. When a leader shows up, you take your cues from how they carry themselves, how they react to people, how they do things, and it's a really important trait.
That's a great point, because I can tell you, we just got back from Walt Disney World. We were down there for a couple of weeks, just got back Thursday night late, and I spent my family vacation, and we were leaving the studios on Thursday. It was our last park. We went there, closed out the day, had to get to Magical Express, back to the resort to catch the bus. And I remember that we were coming out of the studios and they have all the construction going on out in the parking lot. It's kind of a mess. They had a couple of cast members out there guiding the buses out this way, getting the cars to go that way so that everything was smooth. But I remember my last cast member that I saw before I got back to Riverside was this young lady, again, working in the parking lot, with the biggest smile on her face, and she's waving at the guests as that bus pulls out of the parking lot. And I'm thinking, she's out here in the middle of nowhere, and it was so hot on Thursday. It was blazing hot. But bless her heart, sure. The last thing I remember was she had a pleasant and I didn't even get to speak with her. I just saw her through the window of a bus, but she was smiling. She was waving to the guests, just like, you know what? We'll see you again real soon. You know, have a good time. And it just seeing the stuff like that makes me so happy. That's why I go to Walt Disney World personally. It's that kind of attitude and that kind of service.
And we talk about that every day. We talk about how important all those details are, and those little verbal and nonverbal cues. And it's a great story, because a lot of times the cast members, if I'm sure if someone told her that story, she would say, I don't even remember that day. Like, you know, but that's how she is. And we hire that way also. We're extremely picky about who we hire. And we want to make sure that we hire people. And this may seem like a kind of common sense, but we want to hire people that enjoy service. And we want to hire people who enjoy making people happy. And when you can hire people like that, it's much easier to be successful, because you just let them be who they are, and you get the right people in there, and all that great stuff happens. Because you can't fake that. You can't come out every night and wave and smile in the middle of the parking lot, and to your point, in 100-degree weather, and make it look fun. You really have to have a passion for it.
Yeah, because I was thinking, boy, if I was out here, I'd just be sweating it out. Because first thing I thought was, like, that's a pretty cool spot. She can see Spaceship Earth from where she's standing. She's in front of the studios. That's a pretty neat view. Then I thought, well, after about 5 minutes, that probably wouldn't be too exciting, because it's 100 degrees. You're out here by yourself. You're not having a lot of – because I think, you know, I think all of us as Disney fans kind of have a dream of being a cast member at some point, you know, and interacting with guests and being able to make a guest day. But she was out there kind of on an island by herself, yet she was making the most out of the opportunity to interact with the guests, even though it wasn't verbally, it was non-verbally. It was amazing. So let me ask you this too. When you interacted with the cast members that were under you, how do you reinforce that positive experience that they're giving the guests? Because so many times down there, I've done things like the Twitter feed where you know, send a message to WDW Today on Twitter with the cast compliment hashtag. And you see that they actually physically do go out and give a certificate, take a picture with the cast member and give them some recognition. But how do you really reinforce that idea of today's the day to make somebody's memory for the next 20 years?
Well, a big part of that is culture and the environment you create. And that's what makes Walt Disney World such a special place, is the heritage and the tradition and the reputation we have for that. So when you put that name tag on, you feel the weight of the responsibility that you have to create magic. That's part of your role. And we talk about it every single day, and we tell stories. You know, Walt Disney was a storyteller, and people remember stories, and we celebrate every letter I received, an email from guests, whether it was a complaint or a compliment. I read it, and every compliment letter went to, I wrote a note to a cast member, and the note went for me to make sure we reinforced to remind them how big a deal it was. But we kind of refer to the value chain at Disney. Is if you want to have great guest service, and you want your cast members and your employees to take care of your guests, and you want to make them feel special and give them individualized attention and make them feel like they're having a magical vacation, you have to treat your people the same way. And so it's the same. We have to make sure our cast members feel like we're treating them as individuals, and we're listening to them, and we're giving them the tools they need to make decisions and to help people. And then you turn them loose. And I think that's the hardest part management and leadership has sometimes, is just let people do what they do. Let them be themselves and let them go, you know, take care of things. And a lot of times we put too many processes in place and too many approvals. And I think once you hire the right people and you give them the right environment to be in and let them loose, incredible things happen you can't imagine.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of, I think, would be high risk, high reward. You know, when you give somebody the opportunity to go out there and make their own decisions, I think with a lot of, I come out of the education field. I was a teacher for 17 years. So they were, when I started teaching, it was more of a, you know, get your personality out there, make your lessons the way you want them to be, to happen. But then what happened is toward the end of my career was that it was very regimented, because they wanted everybody to teach the exact same thing on the exact same day so that, you know, it was a more consistent product. But I think you lost a lot of creativity and spontaneity. And I think, you know, when you say that, that makes me happy, because when you give somebody like a cast member an opportunity to be creative in how they can make a memory for a family, that's a powerful thing. And that would get me excited to go to work every day.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's something I learned a few years ago, and I've repeated this, you know, a lot with my leaders, is just remember, in any place you are, you control nothing and you influence everything. And if you think you can control things, you can't control people. You can't control how they think or what they do, but you can certainly influence that behavior so they do the right kind of things. And so on the surface, it seems like risk and reward, but the reality is when you give them that room to go, people actually become much more responsible and they take that responsibility seriously and they actually step up and they feel more independent and they feel rewarded.
That's awesome. So Pam Forrester is also here with us today. She's one of our co-hosts, one of the other hosts of the podcast, and I wanted to get her in here because she leads a lot of folks too and does it very well, I must admit. She keeps us fired up. So Pam, I'm going to hand it over to you here for a sec. Oh, no. Oh, you're muted.
Oh, so you're muted, Pam. Sorry.
It's only been 6 hours so far, so go ahead.
Yes, I know, right? I've been trying to... I love hearing the wisdom, and I think that we've had the pleasure of being in contact with some of the Disney leadership over the past years, and it you know, I think I'm always struck by the importance that you can tell that the leaders feel that the weight that they have of continuing to motivate folks, and I think it's a tough job to do sometimes. And I always think, like, how do you all do it? What strength do you pull from on those days when you just don't feel like it? Or how do you inspire cast members on days where, you know, let's just say they had a horrible experience. The public isn't always the most forgiving in that space and they can make things, you know, challenging. Like, where do you tell people to pull from, or how do you pull from when you're just not having a day when you just don't feel like it?
Yeah, it's a great question, because as you were talking about before, it's busy. It can get hot. It rains. There's all kinds of issues that can come up that interfere with us having the perfect experience. But I think if you can tap in, and it really is an emotional connection. If you can tap into people, and once again through storytelling, make sure you remind them of what their purpose is. And I use that line many times when I was at Magic Kingdom of, no one else in the world is doing what we're doing, entertaining this many guests for this many hours per day without ever closing. And you really want to tap into that sense of pride that people have. And you can remind people, you know, you may be in finance, you may be in custodial, you may be in guest relations, you may be in human resources. Everyone has a different role, but you got to remember what your purpose is. And your purpose is always to make sure the guest has the best vacation they ever had. And those guests coming, it may be the only trip in their life they're going to make to Walt Disney World, because it's not cheap. And people save up for years, and you don't know who that family is. And you have to remind yourself, you know, you come here 5 days a week, 6 days a week and work, and this is where your job is. But these guests, they may be coming for the first time or the last time. And believe me, the amount of incredible stories we've seen with, you know, families that you all have helped come to Walt Disney World and come to Central Florida to fulfill their dreams. We tell people those stories and we say, we can't afford to have an off day, because these people, we have a huge responsibility here to deliver this magic. And that's where teamwork comes in. And we always tell each other, no one gets anything done in big organizations by themselves. And I don't care what title you have. I don't care how much authority you have. You're always counting on your teammates. You're counting on others to help each other. It's too big. It's too complex. It's too hard to do yourself. And so we really instill that teamwork. And we tell people, when someone's having a down day, you got to fill in the gap. You have to watch their back. You have to give them a word of motivation. And the reality is, you spend more time with people working with people than you do with your family. So you really should think about it. It's your best advantage to really click with the people you're with. You have a better experience and you deliver a much better experience to the people you're working for.
It's great. And they're great lessons. I had the pleasure of hearing your dad speak early on in my career as a business owner. And he told the story about there's a program that y'all have where some of the leadership spends a day working in the parks in some role, right? And he told of his humbling experience where he was the washer, or he was working in Pecos Bills in the middle of the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about how he had to meet an angry guest, a guest who was upset because they had ordered food and there were no more clean trays. And he learned the value of the person who washes that tray that day, when he had to meet that guest and explain why there were no more clean trays and he had to carry his food to the table in his hands. So it always stuck with me, because it's just like, everyone has their role. Everyone has a role. And if one person's not there, one person's not on point that day, it impacts everybody else. So it was
absolutely it keeps you grounded and it reminds you, because it's easy to come be disconnected. You get a nice office and you get a nice parking spot, and after a while, and this idea that, you know, I've paid my dues and that's not my problem anymore, it is more of your issue than it ever was. And I think that's why Walt Disney World has been that successful, is because the focus keeps coming back to that guest experience. And yeah, it's one thing to read a letter. It's a whole different experience to talk to somebody in person. And your sense of urgency goes up dramatically when you're talking to grandma or you're talking to dad about their experience live. You tend to be a lot more empathetic.
For sure. For sure. So tell us, if you could share like a good story, maybe that you communicated with one of your teams over the years that really kind of helped to bring home Disney's message or helped reinforce the climate that Disney seems to have at that company.
Yeah, well, there are thousands of stories. And it's just, when you hear them, you kind of scratch your head and you can't believe it. But some of them are sad. Some of them are incredibly happy. The amount of engagements. I mean, if you stand on Main Street USA for a couple hours, you'll see a couple of engagements. These are like,
I'm one who got engaged at Walt Disney World. So, I mean, I'm testimony right here.
Yeah. But how many have gotten engaged at Chef Mickey's? I mean, come on.
That's me. I got engaged at Chef Mickey's. So, you know.
Yeah, these are milestone moments, and they happen every single day in the place you're working. But we did. We had one of the stories we told about, you know, just paying attention at Cinderella's Royal Table. A family came, and they had their daughter with them. And the server came and welcomed them and was serving them food. And she asked the little girl, she said, well, what are you celebrating? She said, well, we're celebrating my sister's birthday. And she says, oh, well, you know, where's your sister? And she says, well, she went to heaven, but we're here celebrating. We come here every year to celebrate her birthday. And it was just one of those moments where just the weight of it, just, it's incredible. It's incredible. And so that gets your attention. And once again, every time you walk up to a guest, they're here for a reason. They're here because, you know, they're about to go off to, you know, in the military, or they've graduated from high school, or maybe it's their last trip together because they have ailment, and you just never know. And so we always tell the cast members, you just never know the moment you're going to be able to be there in these special moments, and just be sure you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. I can say when my family took a trip about 4 years ago at this point, and it was our first time there with my 94-year-old grandmother at the time. It was her first time at Walt Disney World. And the memories that we created are something that live with me forever. She passed away not long after. And, you know, that was one of the best things, was that we got to spend time with my grandma right before she passed. We didn't know. It was very sudden. And, you know, it's that's one of those memories that stick with me, though, is getting to see my grandma, who's 94, laughing and writing Carousel of Progress and telling us that, you know, telling us about things that she grew up with, that, you know, were in Carousel of Progress, or, you know, just random things like that. She loved Country Bears, you know, just the things that it was very interesting hearing her take on it, because, you know, as someone who's been to Walt Disney World many times, hearing her take on things, you know, a place that she never thought she'd go. And those memories they last forever. I mean, you know, it's going to stay with me forever. So you're right. Those are the important things out there. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So speaking of memories, I do have a question for you then. What is one of the memories that kind of stands out to you through your tenure at the Walt Disney Company?
Boy, there are so many. I remember when the first day Disneyland Paris opened, and we opened the gate and the first car came through. You know, that was such a historical moment, and being able to be there. I remember standing, I was the duty manager at Epcot on December 31st, 1999. And, they did the countdown. And once we hit zero, I turned around and just was wondering if Spaceship Earth was going to disappear, because all that
was
just and go off. And it spectacularly it didn't. So it turned out to be a pretty good night.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've, It's for us, it's a very close part of our family, obviously. My dad worked there for 16 years and retired as executive vice president. I was there for almost 27 and worked in many different roles. My wife worked there in the French Pavilion back in 1987, and then she worked for Disney for 10 years after that and worked at Epcot during the millennium. My oldest son, Julian, has worked there 3 times. He worked in horticulture, and he worked in engineering safety. And our daughter, Margo, worked there in outdoor vending and horticulture. And our son, Tristan, he didn't get to work there yet. He's 17, but he actually, you know, ironically, he's done all his community service this past year and a half out at Give Kids the World. So he would, we lived down in College Park, downtown Orlando. So he'd get in the car and drive out there and got and did a lot of volunteer hours. And he had some great stories when he came back also about all the kids he met and the arcade games and everything he did with these kids.
That is
fantastic. That's, I mean, wow. You guys are definitely a family of the Disney company and the Disney parks. And it sounds like, you know, that bond really keeps you all together because you have experiences, like you said, in all different areas and facets of the park from frontline to executive levels. And I would imagine, I mean, well, let me ask you this. Okay. So there's so many changes going on with the parks right now with, you know, Epcot's getting some new attractions. There's supposed to be some new green space moving forward. New resort areas, you know, the tower over at Coronado, the Riviera's coming to Caribbean Beach. What do you feel? Because I can tell you're a huge Disney fan. You're not just somebody who was a cast member and who led. But, I mean, I can tell it's in your blood. So what do you feel about the momentum right now of the Walt Disney World property?
It obviously, it's extremely exciting. I would tell you 10 years ago, I think the prevailing strategy and thought in the company was, you know, Walt Disney World is sort of maxed out. There's really not a lot of room for growth. And so we need to go think about other businesses or international. And obviously we're going to continue to go down that with new cruise ships and the Shanghai park is now open. But that strategy clearly changed 8-9 years ago. And we are investing, I mean, literally billions of dollars back into Florida. And it's very exciting. It's going to be great. And the good thing about when you build new hotels and everything you build is whatever the cutting edge technology and the cutting edge architecture and everything is today. And our guests are going to benefit from that. Obviously it's a fine line to walk because I think as I found working for Disney, everyone says, you know what? I have great memories of going there. Don't change anything, but I want it to be different next time I come. So I want to see new and exciting things. So we're always trying to walk the line of how do I introduce to you new experiences and use technology and bring new experiences, but also keep the heritage and tradition of the things you enjoyed previously. And you're never right, right? And I think a lot of people talk about, you know, the old thing about what would Walt do? Well, Walt Disney changed a lot of things. I think people forgot that. He was changing things all the time. And he said, you know, these parks are not a museum. They shouldn't be museums. They should change and they should constantly update with the base notion that we're going to create these safe environments where families can have great memories together. And whatever that's going to be, that's the base of it, but it'll look a little bit different as you go. So it's a great time to be in Central Florida. I think the competition in the marketplace between all the hotels and theme parks here is going to certainly benefit the guests and the consumers who come here because we're all, you know, we're all competition is a great thing and it makes you better.
Agreed. Now, let me ask you one more question. I love this. This is my stuff. But so when you guys have a meeting about making a significant change to a theme park, whether it's Epcot or the studios, what have you, is there like the folks who are the more conservative and want to, you know, like keep the status quo as much as possible? Because I know you have to change because you have to, you know, you have to stay Disney, you have to stay cutting edge, you have to bring in the guests. But I mean, are there more progressive type folks that are on there like, no, you know, let's level the Great Movie Ride because that's a big old footprint, let's do something totally I mean, what is that meeting like? Because I think as Disney fans we all picture it in our head, but is our fantasy of this more exciting than what really happens when it comes to making changes like this?
No, it is. And when you say a meeting, I will say meetings times hundreds. The creative process is definitely not linear. It's progressive. And the analogy that we've used at Disney before is you take a big funnel and you pour a bunch of ideas and a bunch of people's opinions into it and something comes out the bottom. And you take that and you put it in another funnel, and that churns around for a while, and something else comes out. And these go through funnels time after time after time, and everyone gets to challenge it. The people who are more conservative get to put their 2 cents, the people who are creative. And then obviously the financial people have to weigh in and talk about, you know, is this the right return investment? Is this going to be relevant in 5 years from now? So there's an incredible number of points of view. And then eventually we land on a concept, and we kind of put pencils down and we go and build it. And most of the time we're successful, and sometimes we're not quite on the mark, and we always fix things afterwards if we didn't quite hit the mark. But I think what we've learned over time is, as long as you do this with the guest's point of view in mind, you're usually going to be right. And you have to be careful, because after working for the company for decades, sometimes you think you're smarter than the guest and you know what they want. And when they don't like it, you try to figure out why, what their problem is. Well, your problem is you didn't give them something they want. And so we do lots of focus groups. We do lots of surveys. We're constantly talking to our guests. We're looking at the creative and the competitive landscape to find out what kind of environments, what kind of experiences do our guests want to have. And the closer we can get to that, the better it'll be. And the challenge is sometimes they don't know what they want. And that's when we have to be intuitive and try to deliver things that may be, you know, that magical piece that they didn't expect. When we can do that, that's when great things happen.
That's so true. I mean, because I'm thinking about, you know, in particular with the studios, like with the Great Movie Ride, like that was such a beloved day one attraction, yet somebody had to have the courage to step up and say, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction in that building and totally change it to something really, I guess it's going to be unrelated to Great Movie Ride, what it was. And that's got to be, you know, when you go home at night, that first night where you finally got to sign the line that this is going to happen, that, you know, I might toss and turn a little bit saying, you know, we took away the Great Movie Ride today and we're changing it. Right? But I mean, this could be the next awesome thing, and I'm sure it will be. But I mean, that is a big responsibility for Disney fans, you know, like looking at that, like, oh my gosh, it's going away. But I'm excited for the future too.
That's true. But I will tell you also, I think we all have our personal points of view, which we get caught up in. Because if you go to my kids and say, hey, tell me the movie that Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart were in, they're going to say, who is that? And are they like new actors we haven't heard of? So I think sometimes our point of view is definitely, you know, it's not necessarily aged, but it's definitely from a different place.
Absolutely. That's a good point. All right, Ricky, I don't want to hog the conversation here. I know we have a couple minutes left. So, Ricky, you can go ahead.
No, I guess, looking forward, again, I know that obviously you know a lot of things that we don't. but what is something that you're just maybe as a fan or whatever that you're looking forward to as time moves forward with Disney? And then also now that you're retired, what are you looking forward to doing since you are retired?
Yeah. So I think everyone is, you know, there's a bunch of announced projects that are happening. The Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. And then obviously they're working on Star Wars Land. Toy Story Land just opened. Pandora's open at Animal Kingdom. Magic Kingdom has some Tron, which will be coming out of the ground right now. So there's a lot of things I think that are public. There are lots of sketches and all kinds of future ideas. And then the big one coming is in 2021, which is not that far away. It will be the 50th for Walt Disney World. And that is going to be a huge celebration, not just for Magic Kingdom, but the whole resort. When you think about the number of guests who've come to Walt Disney World in 50 years, and a lot of people, you know, that'll be a great moment for people to come back and relive a lot of those memories.
Man, exciting.
Absolutely.
So 100%. Regarding retirement, you know, it's funny. I'll be 50 next February. So when I announced I was leaving, somehow social media picked up I was retiring. And my wife said, I didn't know you were retiring. I thought you were still having to make money because we have to pay the mortgage. I said, yeah, I don't know about this retirement thing. But
yeah.
But it makes you sound old and wise. So that's good.
I like it.
I started my own company. I'm doing dancockrell.com is my website. And I'm taking my 27-year career from Disney and the concepts I learned, the leadership concepts. I really love talking about culture and environment and talking to companies and executives about how they can create those environments and create those for their employees. And it's something that, you know, people say, well, we're not Disney. We don't have all that money that Disney has. And I said, well, the irony is all these leadership traits, they don't cost any money. You just need to get people who believe in them and we'll make a commitment to them. And so I'm doing some consulting in I'm doing some consulting in Croatia with a hotel company over there this coming year. And then, you know, I'm doing some, like I said, some executive coaching and some keynote speeches. And my wife and I just decided, you know, our youngest, Tristan, will be graduating high school next spring, and we will be officially empty nesters. It'll just be the two of us and our dog. So we decided we wanted to take advantage of, I'd say, the next 20 years and just have the freedom to travel and have more time and just kind of do what we want to do. Because obviously, you know, Disney is a demanding place, and it holds you there, and it's a great experience. But we just decided we're going to change direction. So, you know, I looked at maybe going to other companies, but I couldn't imagine working for a different company that was going to be as good as Disney. So, we went all the way the other way, and I'm a sole proprietor now. So, I have
that makes complete sense. Now you're in control of your fate. So you get to do what you want to do. That's the nice part about you know, semi-retiring, I guess I should say.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have that opportunity to be able to do that. But it's very exciting.
So before we let you go, last question, because I know your time is very valuable, and we appreciate you coming on so very much. But
sure,
what like one little piece of advice would you give somebody who's in a leadership position? You know, when they go into work on Monday, and they have, you know, a team of employees, or, you know, in your position to be cast members, but they have folks under them, and they want to get the most out of those people, just not only for the company's benefit, but so that everybody at the company can be cohesive and get the most out of the experience for the guest experience and just as an employee to do the best they can. So what's one thing they could do to, you know, Monday morning to just make things a little better?
Yeah. If I had to give one piece of advice, and it's hard to give one piece of advice, there's so many things you can do, but I think just the general concept of being curious and being, open-minded and being curious about people, being curious about why things work, be curious about how people feel about things, is important. And so you don't get caught up in, it's easy to get caught up in the rut. You get caught in your routine, and you can easily take things for granted and take people for granted and just assume the things are the way they are. But, I tell people, just wake up and look around and engage people, bring energy to the environment, and ask questions, and people have a lot to share. And that was probably the challenge for me at Magic Kingdom with 12,000 cast members. Are we really leveraging all the talent and all the passion we have here? And I'd say the answer is certainly no, because we just didn't have time. You know, time is such a valuable commodity to take advantage of getting to know everyone. And once again, when you can engage people and get to know who they are and make them feel valued, they'll grow by leaps and bounds, and they'll do things unexpected that you didn't even ask them to do. But you just have to take that interest in them.
Well, just thank you. So on behalf of myself and all of our Disney fans that are tuned in today, because, you know, personally for me, the reason I go back are the cast members, the interactions I have. I love the attractions. I love the restaurants. I love to eat. I can go for homecoming right now, but it's the cast members that get me coming back, because they make the interactions and they make the memories for my family. So thank you so much for allowing the cast members to be themselves and to get out there for guests like me to make the memories that I have, and just best wishes in the future. And thank you again for taking the time to come on the show today.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for having me, and good luck to you all. I know you're on the marathon broadcast, so the best of luck to you and your fundraising efforts.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. You have a good Saturday afternoon.
Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Dan Cockrell there. How was that? That was incredible. That was so cool.
Pam, you're still muted. Sorry. I just want to learn how that
should be. We'll figure this out by 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Some great information for sure. I mean, just, you know.
Absolutely.
You could tell he was a, you could tell he was a 100%. You could totally tell he was a Disney fan. I mean, that's what I love. Yeah. Like, he's a fan, you know?
Yeah. 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 Which is so fantastic, you know, to hear that those that were in the executive positions, you know, really are kind of like us. They get excited about the parks and being there. And that's
I know,
because so
like in my mind's eye, sometimes I see the executive, like, I don't know what these board meetings look like or executive meetings look like where they're making these big decisions. But a lot of times I see like a lot of guys in suits and women in, you know, their business attire. And I just don't, you know, I don't know if I see the heart, but like with Dan, I felt like, man, listen to me. I worked the Epcot parking lot, you know, like I've been walking the streets of the studios. I know. And I love this place and I want to make it better. I feel that.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. You know, man. He was there. He was in the front line. I mean, you know, it's hot down in Epcot's parking lot. So you're sweating
for sure,
like crazy.
Right?
So, you know, that's amazing. And it's great that, you know, Disney does still take that into consideration of hiring people from, you know, all the way up. You know, that's a great thing that they do. So
absolutely. And our chat is burning up about that interview. So thank you. We were so lucky to have good get there, Ricky. That was a great, holy cow, you're on fire.
I heard he was retiring and I was like, I'm on it. Check mark that in my head for somebody for the live show.
That was awesome. Well, I was like, I'm ready to go to like do something. Like I'm ready to just put the headphones down
let's
and go.
Do this.
I'm just going to go out in the corner and try to fire people up. Like pay attention, wake up. Today's an awesome day, even though it's 100 degrees.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I have the Pirates game on in the background, Pam, and you guys could get the front row seats if you go down right now. There's not anybody there.
We were there by the stadium last night. So.
We were. Yeah. Riding up that, what is it called, Pam? The
funicular.
Incline. Did the incline last night.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.